and receive and be made free with us today. Come and restore your heart and soul with us today. Hunger for the precious bread of life. Come all who thirst, drink of the living water. Come to God's life and be revived with us today. Come be transformed by the Lord of Lords with us today. Come worship with us as we lift the Savior up. Here at God's life, experience life in Christ. Experience life in Christ at God's life.
To be praised. You're worthy, Lord, for us to worship you. You're worthy, Lord, for us to acknowledge you. You are just so worthy. And Lord, today we gather with a mind on you, not on anything else, but on you, Lord. So Lord, help us to set not only our mind, but our affections and our heart upon you and you alone. Because Lord, we do want to worship you in a way that is acceptable and that is desired by you. So Father, we just bless you. We praise you, Lord. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good, and his mercy and his grace endured forever and ever and ever. You know, it's a beautiful thing when the saints of God come to the house of the Lord. Someone wrote something about worship, and they titled it The Meaning of Worship. And it said that worship that is accepted by God is a privilege unique to the Christian. It is not a right. I am permitted to offer acceptable worship only by the grace of God. Therefore, it is disheartening when children of God deliberately reject this privilege and wantonly absent themselves from the public assembly God has ordained for the glory of his good, for the glory of our good. Consider briefly the significance of worship. It is obedience to a divine command. It is a means of nourishing the spirit. It assists in achieving spiritual growth. It encourages others in their worship development. It shows the world where my priorities are. It is one means of expressing my love for God. It is an avenue God has provided by which I can praise his name. It is the offering of spiritual sacrifice. It is a way of showing my thanksgiving to God for all he has done for me. It is a period of communion with God, with the world shut out entirely. It is an experience that should make the heart of every Christian glad. Will you join your fellow Christians this Lord's Day as we assemble to honor his name? Your Father will be looking for you. Hallelujah. And so I thank God for that. Amen. Because that's what we are talking about today, is worship. And the title for our message today is Holy Living is True Worship in Action. There's no other way that we can honor God without worshiping him. And there's no other way, there's no way to worship him without acknowledging who he is. Amen. And so holy living is worship in action. So living holy is in and of itself acceptable worship to God. So when we worship God with a life that pursues holiness, what happens is we're offering God the worship that He desires. God, worship is a daily lifestyle that comes from us pursuing holy living. So worship without holy living is not the worship that God desires. Amen. In Revelation, amen, one of our reference texts, and I will go back and read that, in Revelation 4, where it talks about the 24 elders, amen, they worship God because they had a right view of who God is, and we too will worship God with a holy life when we get a quickening, when we get a spiritual awakening of who God is. Amen. So what we will do today, we're going to examine the scripture. And as we're looking in the Word of God today, let us examine how our everyday lives can be a testament of our devotion. Amen. How our everyday lives can be a testament of our devotion, a testament of our relationship, a testament of our adoration to God. Amen. As our Creator. Let's go back and just read the scriptures that we're going to use for this reading. The first one is in your bulletin, and it's coming from 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, and it's verse 29. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 29. And it reads such. It says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Again, we see here that worship the Lord has to be connected with holiness. So it says, worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. And then in Psalms 29 and 2, and I give you the other verse of scripture that we are going to be using. We're going to read Psalms 29 and 2, and from there we're going to go to John, to the New Testament, to John, the 4th chapter, the 23rd verse. And we also are going to read in Revelation 4. Verse 10 through 11. Amen. Hallelujah. So, in Psalms 29 and 2, it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the what? Beauty of holiness." And then in John, the 4th chapter, I'll give you a chance to get there in the New Testament, John, the 4th chapter. And I'm going to begin reading at the 23rd verse. And it says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." The 24th verse says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And then the last verse of scripture that we're going to use as we look into the worship that God desires, amen, it's going to be Revelation, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading at the 10th verse. It says, "The four elders fell down before Him that sit on the throne, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Amen. So then, if that be true, that I was created for God, you was created for God. And so if that be true, we also have to acknowledge that we was created by God and for Him, we was also created for His good pleasure. So, therefore, I come to the conclusion that my life is not my own, but it belongs to Him. Hallelujah. So as I said earlier, amen, the 24 elders in Revelation that we just read, they worship God because they have a right view of Him. So today what we want to do is examine what type of view we have of God. And that's going to play a direct effect on my ability or your ability to worship Him. See, if I got the wrong view of God, there's no way I'm going to worship Him. And it's just like anything else in life. If you have the wrong view of a person, that relationship will be affected by the view you have of that person. In other words, if that person is seemingly valuable to you, the view that you have of them will be somewhat different. If that person does not seem to be valuable to you, the view you will have of them will be just that. Whenever we value people, when we get a view of people value to us, we show them that we know that they are valuable to us. So then when it comes to the Lord, the 24 elders, they worship God because they had a right view of who He is. And we too, we will worship God with a holy life when we too get a proper understanding with the help of the Holy Spirit, get quickened, amen, to who God really is. So let us begin with 1 Chronicles 16:29. And it read, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Now, here's what we see here. We should see a direct invitation from God. We should see a direct invitation from God to acknowledge his glory and to approach him with proper reverence. So worship is not merely an act we perform, it is the essence of who we are. So then what we see here is the Bible is telling us, amen, that we are supposed to worship God in the beauty of his holiness. There's only one way that we can truly worship God in the beauty of his holiness, and that is to accept the command that's in 1 Peter, where it says, "For he who is holy," he said, "be ye holy as he who has called you and I is holy." Then we need to be like, we need to forget everything about our Christianity and everything. Listen to me. The only thing that Christians need to be focused on is, how do God want me to be holy? What is he asking me? Because all that other stuff don't matter. He directly commands us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And I was just sharing how people need to understand, we have put a lot of people in heaven that God ain't put there. Because the only people are in heaven is holy people. If you think somebody is in heaven and they're not holy, then you are very, very mistaken. When God said be holy, he's specifically saying, if you're coming into my heaven, you're going to be holy. We read in Revelations, the 22nd chapter, the very last chapter, very last book in the Bible, and the very last chapter. And this is what it says in that verse. Verse 23 of Revelations 22. Mm-hmm. This is what it says. Now pay attention here, because this verse is talking about how Jesus is going to reward us when he comes. Mm-hmm. It says that he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. And then it says, he who is filthy, let him be filthy still. And then it says, he who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And then it says, he who is holy, let him be holy still. Now I need you to know, and right after that he says, he is coming and his reward is with him. So basically what he says, whenever we get ready to be rewarded for our life, Jesus said, if I come unjust, that's how I'm going to be rewarded, as an unjust man. If I come filthy, I'm going to be rewarded as a filthy man. If I come righteous, I'm going to be rewarded as a righteous man. And if I come holy, he said, let them be holy still. In other words, he's basically saying to us, whenever we stand before God, if we have been living holy, we will still be holy. I need you to understand, you can't live holy and go before God and something change. And neither can you and I live a life into ourselves unholy and expect when we go stand before God, all of a sudden, we're going to get holy. It's not going to happen. And that's why I say so many people have put so many people in heaven that God didn't. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so some of you may say, now that is a very cold statement. How can you say people did not go to heaven? How can you say this and how can you say that? All I'm going to say to you is that God is holy. And he said, be ye holy because he is holy. And if God is holy, I can assure you there's no one around God that's not. I can assure you of that. So then What I'm trying to say is there's nothing you and I can do about those people. We don't know for sure if they went to heaven or if they went to hell. We don't know that. But what we do have an opportunity to look at is where we stand when we stand before God. What is God? Why would God say, welcome in? Why would God always ask myself, Calvin, why would God let you into his heaven? Why would he let you into his heaven? Amen. So then, we're looking here, and it says that we are to worship God in the what? Beauty of his holiness. And as I said, here we see a direct invitation from God to acknowledge his glory. And then we read Psalms, in Psalms the 29th chapter, amen. And again, we are reminded to give the Lord the glory due his name. So true worship is an all-encompassing response to God's magnificence, and it urges us to offer our lives as living sacrifices. Hallelujah. So then, when you and I get the right view of God, it's kind of hard to change it. If my view of God can be easily changed, maybe I never had the right view. Because the Bible talks about how, paraphrasing, how can anyone truly, truly encounter God and walk away from him? How could anybody truly, truly encounter God and don't live a life that shows God that they appreciate him? You know, the Lord showed us in one of the Bible studies, or one of the messages, that every day we wake up, we say to ourselves, this is a day that the Lord has made. And I always say that we should add, this is a day that the Lord has made for me. Say this with me. This is a day that the Lord has made for me. See, if you just say this is a day that the Lord has made, it means absolutely nothing with your relationship to God. But when you understand that this day is a gift from God, it has a different meaning. And so what I was understand is God showed me that he only give us another day for one reason. He don't give us another day just so we can go to work, those of you that work. He don't give you another day just so you can go to school, those of you that go to school. He don't give you another day just for the sake of giving you another day. The primary purpose that God give us another day, and I need you to pay attention to what I'm about to say, is to first and foremost examine our relationship with him. You know, so when I start my day, I say, Lord, I thank you for another day to get it right with you. Mm-hmm. I thank you for another day. I know, Lord, you've given me this day so that I can better my relationship with you. And for that reason only. Now, all the other things that I do in that day is just for gravy or icing on the cake or whatever you want to call it. But I know that I only got this day to look and see if I'm living a life that's acceptable to you. Hallelujah. And you know what will happen? It will really change everything. I remember Pastor Graham from South Carolina, he was here preaching about maybe 15 years ago, maybe longer. And I cannot tell you, and I told him a couple days ago, I said, I could not tell you what the title of your message was. I said, I could not tell you nothing else you said, but in your message, you said one sentence that I still live by today. You said, I am living for that day. And I told him, I don't know what else he said after that, and I don't even remember what he said before or even his title, but I wanted him to know that it totally changed my life. So every day I'm living for that day. Hallelujah. Now, I thought that I was living for that day, but when I heard that, it pushed me to another place of, Calvin, do you really think God is going to let you into his heaven unless you have your mind where he wants your mind to be? Do you really think God is going to let you into his heaven if you're not living like he wants you to live, or living like one day you're going to stand before him? So this is just a personal thing that I had to deal with. And from that day, I've been living for that day. Because see, I know this day may not end with me being on the earth. This day could end with me standing before the Father. Hallelujah. I don't have to see tonight. And I live with that every day. I live with the fact that it's 8 o'clock. I don't have to see 9 here on earth. Are y'all following what I'm saying? At any time, God can call me to give account for my life. And so whenever you and I begin to get that mindset, then worship becomes very, very easy. As a matter of fact, pursuing a holy life becomes all that it's all about. Now, there's other things you might do in life, other accomplishments you might accomplish in life, and other great things you might do. However, if that life is centered around your relationship with God, you can be assured of this. The Bible tells us in Matthew, he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And it said, now, this is what I take away. I don't have a college degree or nothing like that, but this is what I understand. It to say to me is, Calvin, put God in the center, keep your eye focused on the center, and whatever you need, you become like a magnet, and God will cause what you have need of to be attached to you. I remember the Lord shared with us in this church years and years ago, about 25 years ago, he said, don't ever leave God for nothing. I remember he said, don't ever leave me for nothing. Everything that you will ever need in your entire life while you're in existence on this earth, it is in Christ. Hallelujah. And this is why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we're talking about holy living is true worship. So understanding holy living, what does it mean to live a holy life? Holy living is not about perfection. Because I know that a few people who are pursuing holiness, amen, and they are not perfect at all. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, I look in the mirror and I can attest to that. I know that I believe that I'm pursuing holiness, but I don't see that perfection when I look in the mirror. Are you following what I'm saying? Rather, it is a life, a daily commitment to pursue righteousness and align our lives with God's will. So what we do is, you wake up every morning, Lord, what is your will? What is your will for me? Lord, I have these plans. I'd like to do this, and I'd like to do the other, and I like to do this, and I'm planning to do this, and I'm planning to do that, Lord, but only if it's your will. And, you know, I've had to make so many adjustments. You know what? I have planned some things for a period of time, and thinking that it's the time to execute, and God says, no, I'm not in that. You know, I believe for us, it's probably embarrassing when other people know that we're planning for something, and then when we find out from God, it's not from God, we either do one or two things. We abandon it, or we will be prideful and go forth with it anyway. Amen. So I need you to know that I have planned to be told that that wasn't his. It was my plan, but it wasn't his plan. Hallelujah. So I say it to you today, don't be ashamed or don't be afraid if when time to execute something that you have prepared to do, God says, don't do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that hard to do sometimes?
Yes.
The one thing we don't like to hear from God is the two-letter word. No. I know I don't. I don't know about you. Maybe you're more spiritual than I am, but I don't like to hear no. Are you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that I'm going to be disobedient, but I can tell you that he say no. I'm like, oh, Lord, thank you that you said no. No, I don't do that. I'd be like, Lord, well, why didn't you tell me while I was doing this plan? Hallelujah. But Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. And when we're talking about living holy, it's a conscious choice. It's a conscious choice. It's not a, you don't choose to live holy by mistake. You don't choose to live holy by accident. It's a conscious choice to embody the teaching, take the teaching of Jesus Christ. We take it in our home. We take it in our workplace. We display it in our community and beyond. So what we want to do is whenever we make a decision, a conscious decision to live holy, it is everywhere. It is everywhere we are, starting in our home, if you work in your workplace, if you're a person that go to school, where in your school setting, wherever you are in your community, your neighbors need to know about Jesus. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I need to live in such a way my neighbors know that Jesus is Lord. And you know, I try to because I have neighbors, amen, and on either side, and one side is Jewish and one side is Mormon. And if you didn't know any better, you would think that they knew Jesus. I mean, the Mormon will allow me to talk to him about the Lord for an hour and a half or longer. And he's an elder in the church. But he'll just come and just, you know, just start talking. And he gets the message every Sunday. Hallelujah. So this is what I'm talking about, taking your holiness in the community, taking it wherever you are. Let people know that in your eye, Christ is the answer. In your eye, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And so this is how we got to do things. And I don't like to talk about myself too much, but I know what God is saying to the body of Christ, that we need to return to holiness, because there's so many people, they want to know Jesus. And the only ones that they're going to see, Christ is gone, the disciples is dead, now the new disciples we look at in the mirror. We're the new disciples. Amen. It's on us. It's on us now. It's on us. And so first God worked through the prophets in the Old Testament. He would send his spirit, Holy Spirit in them and use them, but the Holy Spirit didn't live in them. And then Jesus came and he showed and he did the Lord's work and let the world know about the Father's love and the God and everything. And so then he raised up some of the disciples, and those disciples disciples others, and they kept discipling until one day you and I said, Lord, save me. And when he saved us, then God expects us to live a life where somebody else can look at our life or hear something we say and say, Lord, save me. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? So then, holy living, like I said, is not perfection. It's not that you and I are perfect in the eyes of people, but what it is, it's a conscious choice to live a life that is holy and acceptable to God. So, see, the holiness is the essence of God's character. See, if you take the holiness out of God, love wouldn't mean nothing. Mercy wouldn't mean nothing. Grace would mean nothing, because it's holiness that give the grace, the mercy, and the love of God life. So if you take the character of holiness from God, which is the essence of God's character, in other words, it is the essential character that all the other characters survive off. So then, if that be true of God, how much more for the child of God? If I'm not living holy, I'm not living nothing that's acceptable and pleasing to God. I just want you to know that don't be deceived by the devil. The devil's done a good job of deceiving some people, because people say, well, I live like I want to. God will understand. Yes, he understands. But you got to understand also, you can do what you want to do, and you have every right to live however you want to. You have every right to be haphazard in your relationship with God. You have every right to be wavering in your relationship with God. You have every right to do this thing however you want to. You have every right to see God as a genie when you need something, then you go to him. You have every right to see God as a doctor when you need healing. That's when you call on him. You have every right to do all of these things, but I need you to know, so do God. God have a right to acknowledge your life however he sees fit. And a lot of times we want to do what we want to do, but we don't want God to do what he wants to do, but I need you to know that he will. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that shall he also reap. So I can say, I'm going to live holy today, but today I'm not up to it. I don't feel like it. I don't want to talk about that Jesus stuff today. I don't want to hear about that Jesus stuff today. That's fine. Just know that God can, he got a choice to make too. And it's right, it's his right to make whatever choice. But God is loving. God is kind. God is, but most of all, the one thing you miss, he's holy. And he said, be holy, for I am holy. Now, God can lovingly send you and I to hell. And that's what I had to come. He can love me and still send me to hell. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I pray today that we're getting an understanding, or getting a reminder of the holiness of God. Hallelujah. And so holiness is the essence of God's character. And when we strive to reflect that holiness in our life, what we do, we are engaging in worship. Remember, holy living is true worship in action. So Romans, the 12th chapter, the first verse, it calls us to present, or it asks us to present our bodies, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Now, this living sacrifice, what it does, our life will reflect a heart devoted to God. That's what it will do. And a life that honors Him in all that we do. Now, some of you may say, well, you know, you can't honor God in everything. You know, you can't honor Him in everything. Well, I beg to differ with you, because you can. You can honor God in everything. Mm-hmm. In everything. How many of you say grace when you eat? Amen. What are you doing? You're trying to honor God when you're eating. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't always honor Him in what you eat. But when you do eat, you try to say grace or something like that. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then we can do something as simple as honor Him when we eat. You know, I have recently, I want to say since October, November, went back into renovating houses and doing renovation work. And as well as I know how to do things, everything that I start, I say, Lord, show me how to do this. Now, most of you, if you ever painted before, you know how to paint, right? But every time I get ready to paint, I say, Lord, I know that I have done this before. I know that I have painted and painted. But Lord, show me how to paint this paint job. Are you understand what I'm saying? I was doing some flooring a couple weeks ago, and I was just like, now I done put down a whole lot of flooring. I'm like, okay, Lord, show me how to put down this flooring in this house on these two floors. Show me what it is how I'm supposed to do it. And I need you to understand, it's not so much that I don't know how to do it in my mind. It's more of a recognition that I am completely and totally dependent on Him. And what that does is it keeps your mind pretty much focused on God. But if you can ever start thinking that you can do things without God, that's exactly what the devil wants. Yeah. Us to not understand that we are dependent on Him. So then let's look at the true nature of worship. In John, we read in the 4th chapter of John, the 23rd and 4th verse, where Jesus said, "For the hour is come, and now is." Mm-hmm. And He said that when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Now here what we see is Jesus redefined worship beyond just rituals. He redefined worship beyond just sacrifice. Instead, what He do is, it's about the posture of our heart, about our heart, what's in our heart. It's about what's in our spirit. Amen. And this will cause the proper connection with God's spirit. So then if you and I have not fired Holy Spirit, and we ask Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to live holy today. Holy Spirit, order my thoughts and my steps so that my life would be a pleasing sacrifice of worship to God. Hallelujah. So just remember, you're not alone. You have help. You can't do this on your own. I can't do this on my own. But I tell you what, God put holy in us. So when He said be holy, He was basically saying, allow my Holy Spirit in you to orchestrate your life, to orchestrate your thoughts and your steps. And if you do that, you will always be in proper mindset and the proper focus and the proper attitude towards me. Hallelujah. So true worship, it transcends the four walls of, say, a church building. It's not just something that we do. I know this is worship service. So the only time we worship is not, we don't just worship only when we come inside the church. No, we worship, amen, beyond. It manifests itself in our daily decisions. True worship will manifest itself in our daily actions as well. So when we live in holiness, what happens is, when our daily choices reflects God's truth by the help of Holy Spirit and reflect God's grace, what happens is we become the true worship that God seeks. Amen. Our very existence become an offering. Our very life, every day we wake up, we become an offering, a fragrant aroma to God, a sweet-smelling incense to God, a life pleasing to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, as I was saying earlier about the four elders, when we get a proper view of who God is, we will respond properly. So in Revelation 10, 4th chapter 10 and 11, we read about the elders, and it gives us a glimpse of the heavenly worship that surround the throne of God. And we talked about how the 24 elders, how they fell down before him and declared his worthiness. They recognized that he created all things for his pleasure, and in response, they worship him. So when we have a right view of who God is, what happened is, when we get a right view of his holiness, when we get right a right view of God, the love of God, we get a right view of the mercy of God and the power of God, our life will naturally, by default, respond and worship. And that's the only thing that you can respond to God with is worship. But if you and I don't get the right view of him, we are not going to respond in worship. We are going to respond in a lackadaisy approach to him. However, whenever we see as these 24 elders saw that who he was, we will, as they did, offer worship. Hallelujah. So how can we not offer our all in light of his greatness? I don't see how that we can come into the greatness of God in the presence of the Lord and experience him and not be moved to worship. So when we encounter the living God, what happens is our desires to live holy lives, they increase because we understand that our worship is a reflection of our relationship with him. So however I worship God is a direct reflection. It's the sign of my relationship with him. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Amen. So let's look at a couple practical steps. You know, I got a list of them, but maybe I'll just go over maybe three or four of them. Amen. Practical steps towards holy living as worship. What are some of the steps that I can take to help me with my daily worship to God and living a holy life? Well, daily surrender. And what I mean by this, that we daily acknowledge that our life is not our own, as I said in the beginning. Each day, we surrender our thoughts. We surrender our actions. We surrender our desires to the Lord and ask Holy Spirit, amen, inviting Holy Spirit to direct our thoughts as well as our steps. Amen. Another thing is engaging in prayer and the Word of God. So what we do is we regularly seek God through prayer and scripture. So now these practices, they will always cultivate intimacy. Whenever I'm praying, when I'm reading the word, it will cultivate an intimacy, and now it will also give me a better understanding of God's holiness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And another thing is serving others. And Jesus said in the word of God, he said, if any desire to be great among you, let them serve. Now, the one thing that I've learned over the years in serving people is you don't serve people because you think that they deserve it. You serve people because you know that God desires you to. See, the one thing about serving God's people is that whenever you do that, you know that God is pleased with it. See, worship is not limited to personal devotion. It's not just our time of devotion, our time of prayer. It's also revealed in our service to others. So what I found is that Christ demonstrated this in his life, and we are called to follow suit. And what do I mean by that? Jesus said, if any desire to be great among you, let them what?
Serve.
And sometimes it's not easy to serve some people. You know, it really is not easy. In your own might, in your own understanding, in your own acknowledgement, you cannot serve people. The only way that I can serve, the only way that I can stay up, the hours that I stay up and do what I do, is because I never do it to the people. I do it to the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. I know people are going to benefit. I know that they're going to be appreciative. I know that they're going to be happy that I made the sacrifice. However, my initial, the focus that I'm doing is just like, okay, Lord, I know, just like Jesus said, when you fast, So it means that, that I should have fasting in my life. I understand that when I serve, which is also a commandment that I learned from Jesus Christ, because he served. Now just think about, he fed the multitude. How many people in that crowd deserve to be fed? How many people in that crowd that you and I could have said, oh, he could have used that some other way? And just look at the different ways that Jesus served the people. And you can see that they was not all worthy. And so I tell you a little secret. And I was sharing it with somebody. I said, when you get an attitude of service, when you get that, and once you do it, after a while, it becomes a second nature. It just who you are. You know, my wife asked me a lot of times, you're going to be up all night? You're going to go to bed at 4 or 5 in the morning because you're trying to prepare two meals? Are you understand what I'm saying? The word as well as the natural meal. You're gonna, and sometimes even when I'm doing the service for New Jersey, I find it's better for me not to even go to bed, just stay up until 5 o'clock, because that's when I get up. Just stay up to 5 o'clock and serve the people. Serving with the word, and serve, do the 9 o'clock service, do the 11 o'clock service, and then you can take some rest. Are you understand what I'm saying? And so some people are like, well, how do you do that? I'm going to tell you the truth. If it was left up to me, it wouldn't happen. So I want y'all to think, oh, he's just so special. He's just a servant at heart. I don't need you to believe that. What I need you to believe is I've been doing this so long and have seen the results of it to I don't know nothing else to do but serve. Are you understand what I'm saying? I don't know nothing when it comes to the body of Christ, and even people who are not in the body of Christ. I just believe that I'm a servant. I believe that I'm really, as a Christian, I believe that I'm supposed to be a servant because that's what Jesus taught me. Hallelujah. Amen. And so don't think, you know, that I got this supernatural anointing. No, I don't. I will say this. I can use all the prayer you can give me. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I can use all the prayer. When God put you on my, put me on your spirit to pray, pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Because sometime it be a challenge. Hallelujah. Sometime it be a challenge. But I will tell you this. Once you say, I'm going to do it, miraculously, Holy Spirit gives you what you need to keep going. Hallelujah. It's just like you wake up tomorrow morning, you say, Lord, I don't have an understanding of where the wind, what the wind is and where it come from, and I don't know where it go. I don't have an understanding about how electricity is made, you know, but I see it turn lights on and I see it move things. And I don't understand all of this stuff about holiness and being holy, but I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in me and you are the holy that God give me. So Holy Spirit, help me. With my lack of understanding, help me walk, talk, do what God would have me to do so that I can be holy in his eye. Amen. I don't know how to be holy. I don't. But I can tell you this. If I respond to the holy in me will help me be holy. Hallelujah. But just remember, serving us now, this is what you have to do whenever you are going to obey God in that area. You have to ask the Lord, Lord, you know my makeup. You know my responsibilities. You know my attitude. You know how I see things and see people. And Lord, you know me. How do I serve in a way that is acceptable to you so that my service actually be worship instead of just seemingly a burden? Hallelujah. Amen. So then another thing we want to do is we want to reflect Christ in every area of our life. We want to reflect him. We want to show Christ, whether it's at home, as I said earlier, whether it's at the workplace. Let our actions, let our words worship God by reflecting the love and the holiness of God. Let how we respond reflect the holiness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And in my closing, hallelujah, I know you're saying, oh no, you got at least another hour. Hallelujah. Because it's just getting good, right? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I understand that. My focus was to get those verses of scripture out there and just kind of get you to kind of tuned in to Holy Spirit talking about worship. And in your own personal devotion, Lord, I heard about worship. I heard about living a life of worshiping you in an acceptable manner. I heard about worshiping you the way you desire. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will help me. I'm yielding to you, Holy Spirit. Help me to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So as we understand that holy living is worship in action, let us commit ourselves to a genuine lifestyle of worship. Not just worship any old way, but a genuine lifestyle of worship. Amen. And we want our lives to be filled with the beauty of holiness. Remember now, holy living is true worship in action. And what we want to do is we want to live in such a way that we draw others towards our Savior. Amen. So let every moment we breathe. And I know that you're saying that, how can you do that? Remember, I told you, with the help of Holy Spirit, every moment we breathe and every choice that we make, let it echo the glory due unto his name. Let what we do be a reflection, or let it echo. Let people see that I know the Lord must have showed you to make that decision. I know the Lord must have showed you to respond like you respond. I know the Lord must have showed you how to have the patience that you have. Hallelujah. So glory to God. We want everything that we do in some wise to reflect him. And let us pray. Always asking God for strength, to strengthen us as we pursue his holiness. Ask God, you got to remember, the devil is working full time. He don't want you and I to even get nowhere near having a mindset of being holy. He don't want us to get nowhere near that. Amen. And I think about a song, amen, that keeps coming to me. And it goes something like this. I worship you, almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace, for you are my righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what I long to do. Amen. Is worship you. Why? I worship you. Hallelujah. Almighty God. Because there is none like you. Hallelujah. 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 So we are going to ask Holy Spirit, help me to live a life where people truly see that I worship the Lord. It doesn't mean that you're going to walk around dressed in white all day or whatever or none of those things. It's just going to touch the lives of people in a special way. You know, we was about to check in, I think it was Friday, at the airport and in South Carolina. And the person working the ticket counter and whatnot, they was like, I know you. You're the pastor. Hallelujah. Because the last time I went through there, I talked to the lady about the Lord. And I said, you need to know Jesus.
Hallelujah. Because she was kind of confused and rather not, she was he or she. So I wanted her to know that God loved that young lady. And I was specific. I said, God loves you, young lady. I know. You're trying to look like you're not a lady, but God loves you, young lady. That's who he made you. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I worship you, almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, O mighty God. There